Good evening, ladies. Any gentlemen? No gentlemen. All right. We are going to conclude this part of the Vadim, which will be on Hakara Satov. We'll resume after Pesach. Topic to be decided. So it's actually quite auspicious that we did Hakara Satov, gratitude, because really the next two Chagim, Yom Tivs, are all about gratitude. Certainly Purim and certainly Pesach. And the more Hakaras HaTov we have, not only will our daily service of Hashem, our daily happiness, be increased, but our appreciation in the depth that we celebrate, both Purim and Pesach, be raised. Book last week, we set made two different points. First, we spoke about Bikurim. And Bikurim, the first fruit, reminds us that even things we put our time and we put our effort into, and certainly when we get even more than our share, we are obligated to say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. And if we do not say, thank you, Hashem, then we are a person of ingratitude, a person who fails to recognize God's gift. We're a kafoy toiv, a person who denies the good, that denies the kindness of Hashem. I just want to remind everyone what Rabbi Rieti said Friday night. I think it was fantastic when he said that mashal by Rabbi Lord Dr. Sachs about this wall. I brought us back here on purpose. Remember, he said that this wall, imagine just this one little black dot on the wall, and he asked everybody, well, what do you see on the wall? And in the whole room of educated, smart people, what do they say? A wall, the 99% white, they saw the black dot. So we very often, you know, people come home day in, day out, right? You have Hakara Satov, you have gratitude, right? You have gratitude for what we have. We don't have gratitude. I spoke recently to a young gentleman who had cancer. A young gentleman who had cancer and had several bouts of chemo. And I asked this young gentleman, what of all the things, what of your experience when you had cancer, what would you say was the biggest lesson to? We were having an in-depth conversation. What do you think you learned the most from your cancer? Okay, boys, now older than 30. So he tells me, of anything that I learned to never take my body for granted. I learned never to take my body for granted. Average day that goes right with us. How many of us say, thank you, Hashem, I can see. Thank you, Hashem, I can hear. Thank you, Hashem, I can feel. Thank you, Hashem, that I can taste. Good food, not good food, right? Taste, smell. Thank you, Hashem, my body works. I can relieve myself. I can express myself. I can articulate. I mean, these are, we don't even stop and think about them. We take it for granted. The greatest gifts in life. But that's what he says, a kafoy toiv. And the Revolver pointed out, very often, a person's motivated for a moment, they get sick, they have a lack, they have a dearth, they lack the wealth, right? You know, every time you pay your electric bill, you should say, thank you, Hashem. That's how you pay your mortgage. Thank you, Hashem. Take it for granted. Right? There are people who cannot pay their electric bill and can't pay their mortgage. They can't. Hey, it's not a small thing. But we don't see that. So what happens, right? We see the black dot very often. And we literally, what we harp on very often is that black dot. All of the gifts that Ribbono Shel Olam gives us, the day-in, day-things, certainly if we get more than our share, right? We have this and this and this and this. For Shteitzach, for sure, we should be saying, thank you, Hashem. Then we pointed out a remarkable thing. And I said it was worth it to wake up that day just to hear this. So it was worth it to review this as well. This is such an important insider. Ladies, you are here. It's a Monday night. A lot of things to do on a Monday night. You're here. We're all here to gain. Listen to an unbelievable radak. As I read this over, just reviewed over what we spoke about last week, several minutes ago, I'm like thinking to myself how powerful this is. How terrible that people don't know this. I talk about people, I'm not Orthodox Jews. You know, I hate the word Orthodox, personally. not traditional. Torah Jews. Torah Jews. Orthodox was what the, you know, Orthodox is what the German press in the 19th century classified people who are observant. A Torah Jew means, it's not, we're not sociological classified, but people who want to grow. Torah, you know, we have a new Orthodoxy. I'll tell you the danger of Orthodoxy. Here's Orthodoxy. I keep Shabbos, I keep kosher, I keep Torah to Mishpacha, and I keep the holidays. I'm done. Like, you know, life's over. I'm ready made. I'm classified an Orthodox. And like, that is the beginning. That's like alphabet. That's the starting stage. Right? Torah says that every single day of life, you must strive to be better. You gotta be looking to do. You gotta be looking, how could I be a more ethical person? How could I be a nicer person, more chesed person who, you know, works on my brachas, a person who works on my kashrus, a person who works on my Shabbos. But if you're Orthodox, then I keep Shabbos. I don't work on Shabbos. I keep kosher. I don't work on kosher. Yidden, Torah Jews, they work on themselves. The greatest people, who in this room could even compare to the Chafetz Chaim? We're all great people here on a Monday night. Chafetz Chaim, his whole life was working on brachas. Chafetz Chaim, his whole life was working on Shabbos. Chafetz Chaim, his whole life was working on the Lashon Hara, working on how he treated people, working on how he did kiruv on people. He worked on himself. You know why? Because a Torah Jew is working. So when I say Orthodox, I say it, of course it's a tremendous mile to even be in that category today. You're amongst the camp of people who have a shot at serving Hashem. It means you're ideologically at least have a shot. But sometimes people get self-satisfied with the word Orthodox, and that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. That's not, there's no, our Torah doesn't say you're done at 32 or 33 or 48 or 48 or 49, 60 or 65, 80, 90, 100, right? I just spoke to somebody tonight. He turned 80 tomorrow, starting 80 tomorrow, right? If he stays the same, he's wasting his life, right? The Torah would say, tomorrow should be better than yesterday. Right? You should be working on yourself. That's what life is about. That's what Torah is about. Well, a Torah Jew has to know this. We've all recorded a pasuk. We're going to read this, even though this is a review, I'll read the pasuk again. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Isaiah. I don't remember I gave everyone a hard time for not learning Isaiah, and strongly recommended the ladies to have a goal to learn Tanakh. Right? All, at least, ladies, right? It's, what, you started learning Tanakh?
Oh, yes.
Really? Yes. Fantastic. Unbelievable. Good, fantastic. Beautiful. So I would say this week, whatever you're doing, if you could keep doing Esther. Who shouldn't go through Megillas Esther before Purim? Read over the commentaries. Don't we want to have a real Purim? How could it? I mean, the good thing is that I'm assuming everyone heard Esther and probably read over. That's one of the most. To review it, you're coming into Purim. But for a Jewish lady or man, not to have went through the book of Yeshaya, not to learn the book of Yirmiyahu, not to learn the book of Yechezkel, not to learn the book of Daniel is embarrassing. Embarrassing. Right? I mean, before I mentioned this, I don't mean to knock at all. I think it's, for somehow or other, people feel like they're doing spiritual things if they read Mishpacha magazine, or if they read like Hamodia, or Yeted, like all of a sudden, ooh, I'm a firm Jew, like, woo! Look what I'm doing. I'm reading Hamodia, reading Mishpacha. Articles of, you know, OCD, new things, or, you know, or families, or this gadol, or that gadol, you know. All very, I like it. You know, when I read a Mishpacha or Hamodia when I have time as I'm eating my breakfast. It's a nice thing to do. You know, it's a good thing to read when I'm eating breakfast. If I had to do something, it's a better thing than to read a lot of the other things after. But it's not Torah. Right. Hamodia is a plus because it connects everyone to the greater Jewish world, wherever you are, and discusses issues in Gedolim. It's a plus, but it doesn't compare to learning God's Word. It doesn't compare to reading to the five books of Moshe, to the 19 books of Tanakh and Ksuvim, right? Of Navi and Ksuvim. We should all know that. Right? Before reading any other, you know, art school novel, right, this should be priority. I just say this because it's tragic. Hey, here God gives us instructions to life. He gives us a Torah. He gives us prophets. You know what the prophets were canonized 200-300 years after they lived. You know why? Because they speak to us. They're giving us messages. They're giving us a conscience, and we should know Yeshaya. We should know Yirmiyahu. It doesn't mean to ruin the whole book of Yeshaya overnight. But if everyone would do a perek a day, it's not that hard. It's Hebrew English, or even a pasuk. You'll be getting somewhere. It's surreal. It's surreal that you have Jews, Torah Jews, that don't ever learn the 24 books of Tanakh. Hey, don't ever do it. I mean, I can cry. Why? How could it be that people older than 20 have not yet went through the book of Yeshaya, have not yet went through the book of Treyasar, don't even know who Treyasar is. Everyone's heard of Amos and Micha, Yael and Avadia, Zechariah. I mean, these are people, we should all know this. Right? It's not a hard thing. Our school has it all translated. Right? There's even two or three versions you can get. Right? If you don't know the Hebrew, go through it. So there's a beautiful pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk says as follows. Michtav l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda. Chizkiyahu, of course, is the king of Judah. Tzadik gadol, great tzadik, got very sick. He's on his deathbed. And why he was on his deathbed? Because he didn't want to have children. You know why he didn't want to have children? Because he knew he'd have a wicked son. And he knew from prophecy he didn't want to have children. And Isaiah comes and rebukes him. He says, who are you to decide what God's... God says the command to have children, you have children. And so Chizkiyahu ends up marrying Yeshaya's daughter, and he had a wicked son. That son's name was Menashe. But when he got, and how the whole story of Menashe goes, when everyone learns Tanakh or reviews Tanakh, then you remember that story. But Chizkiyahu gets better, and when he gets better, he's on his deathbed. You know what his deathbed is? You go to the ICU, you see a person who's on their deathbed. Chas v'shalom, which is this sort of thing, right? He was about to die, and he got better. So he says as follows. In my youth, I go to the rest of my days would be spent in the Neverworld. I've lost the rest of my years. Amarti lo era Hashem. I said, I won't see God. Be'eretz Chaim, the land of the living. Lo abid adam oid miyoshechad. I won't see any more human inhabitants. Says Chizkiyahu, right? I thought I would not see God anymore in the land of living. The Radak, the great, great sage of Provence, southern France, David Kimchi, he says, Amarti lo era Hashem. I won't see God. I won't see God anymore. So he quotes the great, great leader of Torah Jewry, 10th century, Rabbeinu Saadia Gaon, right, the Gadol Hador, Rabbeinu Saadia HaGaon, who lived 3 centuries before him. That what does it mean that I wouldn't see God anymore in the land of the living? When I'm in heaven, I'm not going to see God anymore. What does that mean not to see God? Inyan ha'ida. I can't thank God anymore. I won't have the opportunity to on my own thank Hashem anymore. In the Nachonu, so the Radak says, Ki ro'os Hashem hu'ada, v'hashevach l'fan av izbanu drachav. How do you see God, and how do we all see God in our lives? Right? So we thank Hashem. And so we stop, and we think about our eyesight, and our heart's beating, and our lungs are breathing, that I've paid my electric bill, that I have heat in my house when it's warm. Especially Boston last week, if you have heat in your house, especially a snowblower, thank God Hashem. I thank Hashem. That person thanks Hashem that I can walk, that I can talk, that I have a fruit to eat. Right? Baruch Hashem. That's how you see Hashem in your life. It means you're not going to see God. Like I mentioned, someone was asking me, we want to see splitting the sea. You can see God every day, but you got to stop and think and thank Hashem. Right? The way you see God in your life is by stopping and appreciating and thanking Hashem. I won't be able to see God in this world, because how do you see God? Being misbeinin, by cogitating and contemplating and thanking Hashem. The derech, the path that allows us and enables us to see Hashem in this world is by thanking Hashem. Right? Thanking Hashem for the gifts that allows us to see God. We have plenty to see God in our daily lives. Right? Plenty to see God in our daily lives. Right? We met this person, I had this happen to me, I got this job, I married this person, this thing. I mean, we can see Hashem all over the place. We need to stop and say thank you. Davrza lo yisla b'paz. Hey, this is not, it doesn't happen, you don't automatically see God. Who doesn't want to see God in their lives? Who doesn't want to feel palpably God? Right? And who doesn't want to have that? I remember I mentioned, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, about a child who didn't think their parent loved them. Parent gave them so much, but they failed because they didn't stop and think what the parent gives them. You cannot feel the love of a parent if you don't stop and appreciate the gifts. You cannot appreciate the love of a spouse if you don't feel it. If you take everything for granted, you won't feel it. And Hashem is a kel mestater. The Yoyishev, God Himself, is content not to be, visible automatically. The Yoyishev is Israel, Bitzol Shaka Yisran. How then do you see God in this world? In our world, where God masks Himself, like Purim is all about, of course, how do you see God in this world? By stopping and thinking about it. Right? By stopping and appreciating and thinking, seeing Hashem. Dalim hamilim ledalos hamayim chayim mo'emikse. Right? There's not enough words to appreciate what we just said, he says, Revolba. Right? That a person wants to see Hashem. A person wants to see Hashem. The way you do it is by saying thank you, Hashem. By stopping, thinking, appreciating. I honest question, ladies. Anyone yesterday say thank you, Hashem, for seeing? Anyone? What? For being able to see.
See.
No? You didn't say thank you, Hashem?
You see the flowers.
Thank Hashem for flowers.
Hashem,
right? What? Did you think? So you, when you're doing davening, what? Did you stop and think about that when you said it? You said the words.
No, but I saw flowers there in February.
Close the door because they're not on the
story. What? Flowers in February. This is a miracle for me.
How about seeing?
How about seeing?
Period.
Yeah. Well, I did. After I stopped having problems.
How about this? Did anyone say thank you, Hashem, yesterday that you had a bed? How about that? Pillows. I can have hundreds of millions of people in this world without beds.
I did for running water.
For running water. Did you lose water for an hour?
No.
But you appreciated it. It's fantastic. But imagine the following thing. Not only are you thanking Hashem for everything that we have, you're thanking Hashem as you think how He's helped you that day. Right? Everyone has trials and tribulations day, and you're just stopping and think. You'll see Hashem in your life. Right? And certainly if you can even think, oh, my husband, that tzaddik helped me. How did I marry my husband? How did I have a connection? How did I have something to do with? I mean, like, this is so unbelievable. Right? It allows a person to see God in their lives. Right? How my parents they were custom made for me. A person was able and could come to a deeper appreciation of everything and to see Hashem. And the way a person sees Hashem is by thanking Hashem. Certainly, whenever I'm at, I don't know if anyone's has anyone been to my Seder? Anyone Pesach? Right, so at the end, I'm always trying to. We're seeing Hashem now. If we stop and we think, right? We'll see in the Haggadah. You can see Hashem. Right? And really, what Purim is to a large degree is the same thing. We'll get to that soon. So tonight, I'm just going to pick up where we left off. Senator Volbo, Chazal Amru called Koifer B'Toivasu Shachavero, a person who denies the good that his friend gave to him. Your friend gave you a ride. You didn't want to say thank you. Friend did you a favor. Right? Your friend, you can't appreciate it. Someone called you, how are you feeling today? That's a chesed. Thank you for thinking about me. You were very busy in life. People are extraordinarily busy. This person called up and said, thank you for calling to see how I'm doing. You looked a little bit sad yesterday. How are you doing? That's a tremendous chesed. You don't say thank you to your friend for calling you. Here the person called you up. Right? Do you think you're going to appreciate God gave you sight? You actually have to think of who gave me sight. You're in your face. Your friend just did something. So a person who's not acclimated to say thank you to a human being, certainly for the big things, but even for the small things, won't be able to thank Hashem. Hayesoyed bazeh, ki midos ha'odam pulos ba'ofen shaver klapi kolzulos. If we're angry people, sometimes we'll be angry at God, God forbid, sometimes we'll be angry at human beings, we'll get angry at traffic, we'll get angry when a fly, I've seen people when like flies go in the, they're going to kill the fly, like, you ever see this angry, or something like that, we'll get angry when our mail doesn't come. An angry person, that's how they, a generous person, a caring person, will be generous to everyone. A person who has a pleasant eye, who sees the white and not the black dot, they'll see the white with human beings, they'll see the white with God, right? Our midas are going to have, you know, manifestations throughout, depending on where we're holding in our midas. So if we're a kind of person who's accustomed to thanking others, we'll be learning to thank God. Now, that's only, just putting the caveat, only if you know God exists. Yeah, meaning there are people who can thank human beings that don't bother to think on a metaphysical level. So they're not going to thank God. They're not even thinking in those terms, unfortunately. That's a different discussion. L'chein gam kifiyas ha-tzoyiv pu'eles gam klapi ha-kodesh baruch hu. Achor shasaknu harbi ba'akar satov ne'adam, yesh lanu lamur keitz amidu zubiyachas l'baris baruch. So he says, he wants to focus on thanking Hashem. Remember I said in the beginning, we should wake up in the morning, moida ani, almost jumping up and hitting the roof, thank you God. We say, Baruch Hashem. We should have adrenaline pumping through our veins of thanking Hashem. We should have such an appreciation for life, for being a Jew, for having Torah, for having all the gifts of life, for having the gifts of sight and hearing and talking, right, and good relationships, right, for perspective in life, for intelligence, for being able to. We just can't control ourselves. We're on Sky High. That's how we should be. No, yeah, okay, Ramon Levine, relax. It's life. What's the big deal? We should be. Thank you. There's something in here, right? It should be great, right? You should be fantastically ecstatic, excited about life, about Hashem, about being a Jew, right? Being a Torah Jew, having you know what the difference is: a person who was a Torah Jew and a person who's not. You know, it's a different galaxy. It's a different tree. It's a different car. Different world history. A different reality of marriage. I mean, the difference in marriages is like night and day. I tell you this, I deal intimately with people on all levels of religiosity. It's night and day. Right? Night and day. It doesn't mean all Torah marriages are great and all secular are not. That's not true. But the perspective, the starting point of marriage is very, very different. Certainly in the younger generation. Right? Hey, to be a Torah Jew, what a gift. Hey, to be able to daven, to say Poikech Yivrim, we should say Poikech. We're Baruch Hashem, I can say. Hamech Mitzadik Gavr, God leads me in my path. How fantastic. Did anyone thank Hashem yesterday that everything that happened to us was custom tailor-made for us? Isn't that unbelievable? That nothing happened by chance to us yesterday? Absolutely nothing. Every person we met and everything we did, God, based on our free will, of course, right? Custom tailored to us. That's, when you think about it, that is oyim v'noiro. Unbelievable. So still, is that unbelievable? Everything your day yesterday. God picked everything based on your free will, of course, right? Somebody goes to Hawaii, somebody goes to Las Vegas, so not to the parts of Hawaii that are problematic, or the parts of Vegas that are, or the parts of San Jose that are problematic. So God will give them, based on where they went to, right, a certain amount of tribulations. Somebody who came here tonight, so based on the fact that you came here, you're getting, people who have different messages, people get different things. And when you met this person. But the bottom line is each one of us have a custom-made day. That's unbelievable. That's mind-boggling. That's something to dance about, that really God custom-mates our day for us. So, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the classic work ethics of the heart, Bishar Avodas Elokim, what a beautiful chapter, right? The service of God. I'm also anti-Orthodox, by the way. Just people should know this. I'm anti the term Orthodox. Somebody told me recently, I'm anti-Orthodox. So am I. We have a lot in common. So he said, what do you mean? We have to work on you. So, right? A chapter of service of God. Right? We're not Orthodox. We're serving Hashem every day. We're supposed to become better. By the way, the Cholvus Lavavus was written to in Spain in the 11th century to a completely Shomer Shabbos group of people. Like, the point of life is not to be Shabbos. That's the baseline. We're supposed to go higher than that. We're supposed to aim high. Look to be better. Look to be greater. Look to be more fantastic. Look to be more happy. Look to be more gratitude. Look to eat, to say a better. Look, lo and behold, you keep mitzvahs more carefully. this is my level of observance. So I can take that answer. I think Hashem could too, if I can't speak for God, but my understanding is, right, if you're saying right now, today it's, I can't take more. Or today is what I do. But if you tell me for life, I'm not going to do this law of Shabbos. This is just not who I am. I'm 38 years old and that's it for life. I mean, that's treif, if I can use the word. Right? Treif. Absolutely treif. To say that this is who I am, this is my level of observance, my comfort zone. My comfort zone. That's not a Jewish concept. The Jewish concept is we look to be better. I would hate to say, honestly, if somebody told me, how's your marriage? It's okay. I said, are you working? No, this is not my comfort zone. It's okay to have an okay marriage. My comfort, that happened to that marriage? Right? That's not a marriage. Marriage is meaning you work on yourself. You work on your marriage, you make it better. Right? It's certainly serving Hashem, which is the point of life. This is the point of life. Right? Judaism 101. I'm packing in here before Purim and Pesach. Right? So I'm throwing everything over here, right? Judaism 101. What in the world is the point of life? Is it to be an engineer, be a lawyer, be a rabbi in the Jerusalem grill, in parts of a rosh shop? Is it to go for walks, buy nice blouses or nice suits or ties? Is that the point of life? All important things. Everything I just listed is important. That's not the point of life. That's not the point of life. The point of life is to serve Hashem. Right? Even marriage is secondary to serving Hashem. Right? Because the point of life is to serve Hashem. If you marry somebody who's not going to allow you to serve Hashem, you're marrying the wrong purpose because you're not going to fulfill your point in life. Right? The point of life is to serve Hashem. Right? Whatever we do, we must serve Hashem. Serving Hashem is dependent on who you are, on your background, on your skill set, on your comfort level, where you started from, where you're going. It's also very, very subjective. It means, of course, 613 minutes is objective, but you have to come to serve Hashem. But the point of life is not to do all the other things. Those are things which allow us to live. It's not the point of life. The point of life is to work on ourselves. So, B'chogis Levavos, in the chapter of Avodas Elokim, says, Baina is called Avodas Hashem, service of God, serving Hashem, is built on Hakaras HaTeva, gratitude. Unbelievable. Humevar Hashem Ba'arichas, he explains there at length, Ki kol asher ha'atava shlema, v'hakara gedoyla yaser, the more good that we have, the more appreciation for that good, yaser tegal v'chesavad, if we're happy, if we're, let me ask you, I'll tell you a great marriage. If a wife is satisfied in marriage, she wants to put on the makeup for her husband. She wants to put on, to look a nice shirt for her husband. She wants to make her husband happy, right? If a person's happy with her job, they want to do a great job. Right? They want to give to the company, they want to give to the boss. If they're happy with their job, if a person is happy with Hashem, you'll want to pray to Hashem, you'll thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem! Right. Thank you, Hashem. Your person will be excited. Thank you, Maidan Lefanacha. Right. Baruch Hashem. I'm so excited for Purim. So excited for Pesach. Right. This is fantastic. You know why? You have gratitude. But you know what happens if you're not happy in life? Right? Your husband doesn't appreciate you. No one here. Because your husband's all hurt the past few weeks. So now they're very appreciative. They must be super appreciative. Right? Make sure they listen to the gratitude things. Right? You're right, but if God forbid somebody's husband did not listen to this class, or the wife didn't tell him over, and their husband doesn't take them for granted, she makes supper, never says thank you. She puts on makeup, never says thank you. She calls in the day, never says thank you. She makes his bed, never says thank you. She does laundry, never says thank you. Do you have a desire to give to such a person? When you're taken for granted, or you can't appreciate, or you're angry or upset, you can't give. You're held back. Person wants to serve Hashem. Person wants to increase his avodas Hashem. He has to have gratitude. Or she has to have gratitude. Gratitude, having hakaras hatov, is one of the most important fuels which fire our service of Hashem, which propel us certainly for prayer. Right? If somebody does the most unbelievable favor. The most unbelievable favor. We would have word, if we're half of a person, we would have words to thank the person, right? Imagine the following thing. It's 4 a.m. You were driving from L.A. to San Jose, 3 hours away from here. You got a flat tire. It's 4 a.m. You have no wallet. You realize you left your wallet back in Los Angeles. You have no way to pay for anything. All you have is your cell phone. And the person calls you up 4 a.m. in the morning. For some chance, a miracle, you pick up the phone. And you go help them out. Fix their flat tire. Give them a wallet. You know, give them some money. Help them get back. Bring some food because they've been freezing. They bring them the coat. I mean, if anyone's half of a person, wouldn't they say, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You were my best friend. The kindness. You came 3 hours away, 4 o'clock in the morning. It was 36 degrees out here. I mean, what kind of unbelievable person you are. Wouldn't you feel so much gratitude? And how about the next day when you see the person? Especially if you're sitting there for about an hour or two. Wouldn't you be, thank you. You would look for the words to express gratitude. If you're half of a person, that's how you react. The person came 4 o'clock in the morning. Hashem does much more than that for us every day. We should be like searching for words, like davening. I can't even say enough. There's no words I can express how grateful I am. Blessings. Birkas HaMazon. Right? God says, do this mitzvah. I would do much more. That lady now calls you up. She came 3-4 in the morning to help you. A week later, she says, could you go to Pars Market to get me the Pesach goods, the Shmura Matzah for Pars? Sure, of course, you're not going to get it from her. You go leave your house to go to Pars Market to get the Shmur Matzah. You'd be thrilled. Happy. If I can do, I would do much more for you. But tell me much more. Right? How about now, and 10 minutes later, she says, go to Pars if you don't mind stopping by Jerusalem Grill because I need lunch. Right? I mean, you'd be thrilled. This lady came 4 o'clock in the morning to help me out. This is the least I can do for her. The least. Now God says, like this, right? Do this and this and this, and now, and gosh, I'm not even telling us mitzvahs for his sake. It's for our sake. If we have gratitude, don't think our whole relationship to the mitzvahs are going to be different? Of course, understanding mitzvahs are important and having a perspective, but gratitude fuels the chayavis to love us. Just like with our spouses, if a child wants to be able to give to a parent, think of what your parent gave you. Really appreciate it. You'll say, how much more do I owe my parent? Like, they did so much, much, much more for me. I'm doing the minimum. Like, they say jump, I can jump even higher. Again, I'll just say this because it just came up very recently. Jump higher as long as it doesn't affect your marriage. if there's ever a conflict between parents and marriage, you should ask a shiloh because, of course, spouses always come first. This is, I'm sure everyone knows this, but kivavim is always. In a normal functional world, parents say jump. You say, how much more can I jump? I mean, what have they done for me? How little I've given them back? They came to me 4 in the morning every night for months when I was 1 year old, 3 months old, 2 months old, 1 month old. How's Bella Chaya? Is she sleeping through night yet? Baruch Hashem. Okay.
Since Rosh Hashanah.
She never wakes up anymore. Good girl.
She's sick or whatever.
Okay, so she had a few months, quite a few, right, of 4 a.m. pickups in the middle of nowhere, a few times, right? As much as you, I mean, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., right?
All of them,
right? I mean, think about it. What a child owes their parents, it's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling, and that pales in comparison with what we owe Hashem. We would appreciate, have gratitude towards Hashem. We would be just, what could I do for you, Hashem? Like David, you read Tehillim. Hashem, what could I? You read David HaMelech and Tehillim. What could I possibly do for you, God? Tell me, God. Tell me. You know why? Because David's veins are just channeling like super coffee gratitude, right? Super Starbucks, kosher Starbucks, right? With gratitude, with excitement, with fervor, with unbelievable. You may think I'm a little bit excited over here, but that's how a Jew should serve Hashem. That has to be all of our goal. Hashem didn't create us to be. Hi, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem Shukah Alam Mivral. Full of Esrik. Megillah, when this is almost over. Right, when can I start eat my Humantashin? I mean, that's not what the purpose of life is. We should be excited to serve Hashem. V'yesh lahavin heitev b'derek kol miyusud kiyum hamitzvah lemuna. Right? We're talking about faith in God. Now he uses the word, he's mishu orthodox. B'menasa b'kayim hamitzvahs. Person who's orthodox, he's mekayim hamitzvahs. Ashu nagua b'kviyas hatov. I'm saying he actually says you could keep mitzvahs even though you're still an ingrate. You'll go to davening, you'll say brachas like without ever thinking what you're doing. You'll walk around miserable, mourning all day. You know, people who mourn every day, mourners, not God forbid because he lost a relative, just unhappy. Why this? And why I want this? And I want this? And you just
whiners.
Don't. What?
Whiners.
No, but mourners, more than whiners. They may not even say it, but they're unhappy. Like I gave the example, I think a couple of weeks ago, but a good Beis Yaakov girl, right? Good Beis Yaakov girl. Beis Yaakov by age 21, 22, you're not married. It's like, oh my goodness. Like, they're so wired that they want to get married. This is fantastic, right? So, here you have a great girl. She wants to start a Jewish home. She wants to have children. She wants to have a Torah home. She, you know, whatever her husband does, that's what she wants. Fantastic. And she starts dating. Pretty girl, nice family. Doesn't get married. Doesn't get married. Maybe one, two, three, four, five, four more years. So, do you think God wants this nice girl who has good hashkafas, good approach to life? She should want to get married to a good Jewish boy to build a Torah home. For the next four, five, three, or more years to cry and just not live life? You think that's the point of life to mourn? No. God wants us to appreciate all of the good in our life. Doesn't mean not to have drives for good things. But we shouldn't be walking around mourning our lives. That's a tragedy. I probably it would come on Thursday night, but that was Kara. But, you know, when Emma passed away, so Miriam, as we're leaving the hospital, and the body had left, so Miriam said, "I want you to know that what you told my mother is very helpful." So what did I tell her mother? I said, you know, when it became clear that unfortunately, Rahman al-Hassan, there was really no cure, and it was only a matter of days, if not weeks, when it weren't clear how long things would go for. So I said to both Emma and Eve, I said, "Listen, I'll tell you a lesson that my grandmother told me." And my grandma's 100 years old. I think I mentioned this here also. She said, every day say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Thank God for every day. She said, we don't know how long you'll be here. It could be 2 months, it could be 2 weeks, it could be who knows how long. Hashem doesn't want you to spend the rest of your days on this world mourning the loss. Right? Enjoy every day that you have each other. Right? Don't sit here and say, oh my goodness, why is this happening to me? What a tragedy that would be. Right? Here you have a few more beautiful days. Could be even, who knows how long. Why sit there and waste them? You say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, take advantage of every single day. Utilize every single day. Right? If you have a gift, don't squander it. I mean, you'll sit there and you waste your life. And we all do that a little bit. We're unsatisfied because we don't have this, we don't have this. And we waste our lives. She doesn't want mourners in this world. He wants us to be exuberant. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have drives, and we should pray to Hashem and cry to Hashem. Right? It's like a vitamin. There's a time and place for everything. Hashem wants us to be happy. He wants us to have gratitude. And if a person could walk around even keeping Torah and mitzvahs at some level, and still be an ingrate, and the chavis levavis, the work ethics of our heart is taught, the milah, the plus, the character, the greatness of a vayda of service of Hashem. This means it's a maila pinimis. He's going to explain the mitzvah, but the maila of growth in service of God, the most important fuel criteria is gratitude. Because if you want to be able to give to Hashem, we're really giving for ourselves, but at least we think we're giving to God, right? God doesn't need us for a second. But we're giving of ourselves to God. We have to feel gratitude. Just like if you want to really be able to give to your children, to your spouse, to your friends, to your parents, you have to feel gratitude. And the less gratitude you feel, the less you'll give. And when you give, it's not going to engender more giving because you'll be, why am I doing this? Why is this necessary? This is not so important. Or be, hey, I don't know if you can get the on the MP3. But, I mean, it's not going to be that excited, right? It will be like, I have to do this. I'm compelled, I'm coerced, I'm stuck, or half-baked, half-hearted, half-excited, because you really are unappreciative of the reality. That's a tragedy. The Yesh L'Hamek says in Volba, if they go a little bit different, the Emes call Adam Hu Dati B'Tivai. Unbelievable thing. This is not what we're discussing now. Every person is religious. By nature. It means there's no such thing as an atheist at heart or an agnostic at heart. Right? There's only a person who's been corrupted by society or by his family or by himself to be an atheist and agnostic. Why? There's an inherent part of us sees that belief in God is natural. Now, this is not our discussion right now. We're going to not go there. That's a huge topic. He actually says, see my word, a different, his first Ali Shore. But take it at face value for now. So, Ma'ama Ostrakok. So, what allows us to not only believe but to express it? It's the Kayach of Ha'akara Satayv, is gratitude, which means as follows. Adam Apokeach Einav, Viraya Atzma Bo'ilan Nidalosa. Okay? A person opens his eyes. You might say that a Torah Jew sees a different tree. You're seeing God in the tree. Hey, not only seeing the photosynthesis and the chlorophyll going up and, okay, you know, whatever you're saying, but you're seeing, this is an unbelievable tree. This is maybe the photosynthesis and the chlorophyll going up in the sun. And this is fantastic. But you're seeing, wow, this tree is created for mankind. It's created for me to appreciate it. Even if I don't even own this tree, I appreciate seeing this pretty tree, right, Mrs. Randerman? Right? It's Gavaldic. These heartbeats, right? Wow, God, you put me in a great world. My 4-year-old Yosef Meir, so he made a siyama. I took him to Jerusalem Grill. It's great. He was so excited. He finished Aleph Beis and the Kudus. Okay? Now he's on to his next siyam. I can't tell you how much that first siyam has propelled his learning. Unbelievable. Like, we gotta get siyam. They gotta make a siyam. He's like really pushing himself to learn the Lama Tesla Lachas. Right? You know, he just learned 77 mitzvahs, actually, mitzvahs asays. So he like really pushed to do it. So he tells me he wants to go to Izzy's to get pizza. Okay. But the other day, he says, no, I know what I want to do. Jelly Belly! Like, he wants to go back to East Puma. When I was in Connecticut a few weeks ago, my wife's cousin's kid, her second cousin, was here. She didn't go to see Jelly Belly. I said, now Jelly Belly is like kind of Eden in this world. Jelly Belly, he thinks, like, I mean, so he says to me, he says, I want to go to Jelly Belly instead. No, I'm not going to Jelly Belly. It's way too far for me.
Before
his kosher.
All the time. And yeah. The Jelly Belly.
So I maybe if he finishes shots, I'll take him to Jelly Belly. But I must say that when he said Jelly Belly, it was like being like Jelly Belly. It was like you see his 4-year-old's eyes, like Jelly Belly, unbelievable, half of a fellow. You know, in a certain like you know, Candyland for this kid. This is literally Candyland. It's like everything you can want. We all have old Candylands, right? We're in our Candyland, whatever that might be. You're like, what could I do? Like, this is so unbelievable. Right? This is so fantastic. Like, when you have that appreciation, like, I'm so happy to be here. Right? I'm so happy. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Colorado with my wife's family, so I was walking with my wife. It was, like, so pristine. I think this is fantastic. This was, like, in Vail. In that area, it's like, you see God, like, literally all around. You can't, like, you know, like, these pictures they have of serenity? Like, you just have these, like, in a doctor's office, a serene picture. I was there! Like, this is, like, fantastic. I'm like, serenity all around me. Like, you know, you can hear, like, the birds chirping and, like, the waterfalls going down. Like, it was fantastic.
What?
Yeah, it was close. It was absolutely close. It was my Candyland. So, it was close. So, when you feel like that, you're like, how lucky I am to be in this place, right? How fortunate I am to be here. Imagine every day, all the time feeling that. That's like a fantastic, we should be feeling that. Right? That is the goal of life. Right? It's not to be most of the time 85% getting along, getting by. I asked someone how they're doing, surviving. Surviving. Should be thriving! Right? But when a person has a car, I'm in Candyland. I'm in Jelly Belly. I'm in Vail. I'm in San Jose! Fantastic! I'm in the show. Person should walk into the show. This is unbelievable! Just so happy to be here, I see. Fantastic! This is... Does anybody have hyperbole here? I'm serious. I mean, you don't have to be so effusive. I'm being effusive because I wanted to point them across. But internally, this... Okay, quite frankly, what I'm describing is doesn't happen automatic, and it's not an easy road. It's a way of the great righteous, but really righteous people live at some level, not maybe at a constant level, with this. Right? They are, I remember Rabbi Harav Agoyin, the Gedali Hador of Shmuel Kamenetsky, anyone who's once involved in one of these like super political things. Like, you can't imagine how political this was. And everyone meant, of course, for the name of God, but it was super political. Okay? Now, most people would be broken, would be upset, would be, why is this happening? Why? You saw a man who was smiling, in a good mood, he was appreciating life. He wasn't fazed. I'm sure he was fazed at some level, but he saw the white all around him. He didn't just see the black dot. He saw the white! He saw the great white, and he was happy. Simcha, by the way, prophecy, Reb Chaim Vital says, it needs a steady state of simcha. You know what a steady state of simcha means? You're happy. Happiness is not fun. Right? Happiness is a steady state of being content and happy and appreciative and having hakaras atayiv constantly. Not just once in a while, but it's a steady state. A person walks around and he's thrilled to be where he is. He's in Candyland. He's in Jelly Belly. Even better, he's in Am Echad. Al davazeh haya admor midayik. He says that the Rebbe Rabbi Yochum Lavovitz says in his Haggadah Shal Pesach. I usually when these ladies have been there, the night is part of the Haggadah. I'm like, we have to be right. Lafiachach. Therefore, we say at the Haggadah, we take our part of Halal is. Lafichach anachnu chayavim. Therefore, as we're seeing the Haggadah, we're appreciating all God's miracles. We're seeing God's hand in history. We're seeing how He took us out of Egypt. We're seeing who we are today, and we say, and therefore, since we realize all of this unbelievable material, we just did Pesach. Lafichach anachnu chayavim lahoydus. We have to thank Hashem and to praise Hashem. Masha asa lavasim, what God did for our forefathers and for us, all these miracles. Right? We don't say. But to the person, right? We just say lemi. We don't say to God, which means the reason why he says an unbelievable thing is because gratitude, it doesn't make if it's to Hashem, it's to a human being, it's to all the things around, right? Anything that benefits us, we're appreciative to. A person who's aligned in gratitude, so they'll stop and think where are they getting everything from. They'll see the human being and thank them for helping them. Thank you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shkayach Moshe Rabbeinu, thank you. By the way, you think everyone thanked Moshe Rabbeinu throughout the desert? Survey says, no, right? Yes, Mrs. Reimann, did they give Moshe Rabbeinu a hard time? All the time. What did they see? They saw the black dots. They didn't see all the white that Moshe did. Many people did. They didn't appreciate it. Okay? So a person who's aligned to give, of course on Pesach, they'll stop and think. And on Purim, I mentioned to the men we're learning before davening for the brave-hearted. So you have to understand what Purim is like. Can you imagine what Purim is? I gave him an example. This was Purim because I was discussing how Purim changed the Jewish people eternally. But imagine the following thing. It's a crude marshal, but it's true. Haman tries to destroy with Ahasuerus every single Jew in the world. So just imagine Nazi Germany. Okay, Hitler, Streicher, Himmler, Goering, Yimach Shemam Zichrom, Goebbels. Nazi Germany was a small Haman. You know why? Nazi Germany didn't have nearly as much power as to destroy the Jews. They were only control of a third of World War, third of the Jews. Persia, under Haman, was every single Jew. And as opposed to Nazi Germany, who had to contend with England, especially when they went conservative, had Winston Churchill, and the United States of America, and everyone else. Nazi Germany had limited role. They could only affect the countries immediately around them. Persia, no block. Right? Haman says, kill all the Jews. There's no one stopping him. There's no United Nations, for whatever they're worth. Right? For whatever it's worth. There's no United States. There's no England. There's nothing stopping them. That means when they say we're going to kill and wipe out every Jew in Purim, that's Nazi Germany magnified. And literally within days, you have the whole Third Reich flipping over. Hitler realizing that his wife is Jewish, and then putting the Chafetz Chaim as the prime minister. Could you imagine in 1939, in September 9th? Well, it's September the war started 3rd. July of 1939, as everything's going on, all of a sudden, Hitler's wife says, Ich bin a Yid, I'm Jewish. Right? And Hitler says, okay, let's kill Himmler, kill Streicher, kill Goebbels, kill their children, call in Reb Chaim Ozer Gadinsky, the Belzer Rebbe, they're going to be my cabinet now. I mean, you... that is what perm is, by the way. That's just start of perm. It's a lot deeper. That's a lot deeper perm. That's the start of perm. That you had the most vile country with the complete ability to destroy us, all of a sudden flip in a matter of days from Nazi Germany to putting the Tzaddik Hador Mordechai, one of the greatest people of the generation, fifth in the Sanhedrin, as a viceroy of all of the Persian Empire. That's the beginning of it. That's a lot deeper than that. That's the beginning. You're living now. You're appreciating that. Of course you're going to be exhilarated in Purim. How lucky we are. Look how God watches out for us. If hakaras hatayiv, if gratitude is the fuel which energizes our service of Hashem, well, you can learn the opposite. That is kfiras hatayiv, when a person lacks gratitude to Hashem, right, it leads to kfira, heresy. Right, a person can't daven. I can't serve Hashem. I can't keep Shabbos. I'm too upset. I'm too angry. Right, I don't have it's not in me. It's not in me to pray. It's not in me to do this mitzvah. I don't have the strength. I don't have the desire. What has God done for me? I had a guy tell me, you know, like something called conservadox. So I don't know what that is. Conservadox. He tells me it's conservadox. But he said he can't pray. So I said, why not? It doesn't work. So what do you mean? I prayed and this didn't happen to me.
This is a
big child.
I understand.
Right? So, but he was serious though. He was not making up his emotional reaction and his inability to pray. That was real. Right? The diagnosis and the cure for that's a different, it's not my point right now. My point is that was real. Means he didn't believe in prayer because I don't think this guy does anything at this point. You know, unfortunately, he's not under my wing, so I can actually help the person. You know, I met him once or twice, but you know, at the end of the day, if we have kfiras hatayiv, kfiras hatayiv, we don't have gratitude. It will affect at some level kfira. We won't see Hashem in our lives. And you look around, where's God? I don't feel God. I don't see God. I don't hear God. And you don't have that feeling. It's very hard to serve Hashem. Just like a person who borrows and denies the whole loan. This denial strengthens two strengths, which we discussed previously. First of all, everything, a kol move in me'elav etzlo, a kol megilo, everything's supposed to come to me, why aren't I getting this parnasa? Why aren't I healthy? Why aren't I should have this thing I want, right? You know, I want this, right? Why? Of course I'm going to have this. And this belongs to me. What do you mean? You're not giving this, God? Right? I want this 24-year-old baisa. I pray to you, God. No, I said to him 5 times a day for 6 years. Shidduch. You owe it to me. Right? That feeling that God has to give it to us, and He owes it to me. Right? That I should be healthy. Why do I want? Why am I having diabetes? I should have this. Where's my kid? Where's my thing? I mean, that's how you have tainas. God, yeah, it's not enough that this and this and this and this. Where's my thing? Right, so a person has that feeling about anything, anything. Some things are bigger than smaller, right? More than that, there's one feeling of that we don't have a karsa. Number two. Nobody likes to owe anyone anything, right? Well, if I do have a car, if I do owe God stuff, I can't complain, eh? I can't complain about everything good I have. I can't complain, as we discussed a couple weeks ago. And I'm indebted. So there's a feeling, I don't want to be indebted. So people don't have a car, because they believe everything they deserve. And they don't want to be indebted. Right? if everything's simple to you, if all the gifts in life you don't appreciate, the fact that you have this and this and this and this, 150,000 other things taken for granted, and all you see that black dot, all you see what's lacking, what's the dearth, right? Then I don't know God anything, because that, of course, I'm going to get. That was natural. A lot of people see. A lot of people don't see, by the way. Right? A lot of people hear. We don't have to thank God for hearing. Okay. We don't have to thank God for getting this. You know, we don't have to thank God for that. I take that for granted. So of course a person's going to end up being rejected and called. And then anyways, I don't want to be indebted to God for all these things. So at some level, there's a problem. So a person thinks, you know what? God didn't give me this. Imagine the following thing. Right? Let's go back to last week. Remember last week? Talked about that dinner. Potatoes. Right? Roasted potatoes. Garlic chicken.
Yeah.
It's good. String beans, the lemonade, 3 ice cubes, the perfect supper. Right? The perfect supper. Right? The wife makes for the husband exactly what he wants. I mean, without even asking me. She makes the perfect potatoes roasted just lightly. Right? The string beans, the lemonade, she even makes him his favorite lemon marble cake. And imagine the following thing. She brings in the dinner, and she worked on it, and a labor of love. And she only put 2 ice cubes instead of 3. How could you? You only gave me 2 ice cubes. He's very upset. Didn't thank her for the garlic chicken and the potatoes and the lemonade and the string beans. Focus on, she only gave him 2 ice cubes and not 3. I like 3 ice cubes in my lemonade. Do you think people don't do this in life? All the time, every day, right?
I know someone who does that.
All the time.
I know someone who does that, and she's still married from.
Oh, so hopefully not locally.
Yeah. No.
Okay. but that's tragedy. That those people need therapy and counseling. He does. That's terrible. Oh.
She does too.
Well, yeah.
She right.
But she may have kids. Well, let's leave this for now. But the point is that there are people who service to God the same way. God gives us everything. He misses the ice cube. And by the way, didn't we discuss, Mrs. Stolen, how unbelievable is that God made your day yesterday? Wasn't that great? Let's go back to how we started about 45 minutes ago. So God takes away 1 ice cube from us, and we have such bitterness, such anger, such frustration, such anxiety. And didn't we start to say that even when God takes away that 1 ice cube, there's a reason? He's custom making our day. If he wanted to give us an extra ice cube, he could, right? That applies to all of us here. So not only are we unappreciated of all of, and by the way, God's dinner is a lot better than the garlic chicken, the potatoes, and the stream. He gives us so much more than that dinner. But we're still bitter, angry, upset, or depressed. Some people are depressed or just blah. Because we're missing an ice cube. And by the way, when we're missing the ice cube from God, it's the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't mean we should give up getting that ice cube if that's what we need. Right? It's a dongle. But if we did our part, we just didn't get that ice cube yet. I mean, you know, if you want to get married, I always say, tell guys, don't go out with a girlfriend at a time like this, and you're not going to get married, right? You're not going to get married if you walk around with a time like that, and if you don't floss your teeth and you have food in your teeth when you meet somebody, you're not going to get married. I mean, or if you do get married, that may be very scary. So, right? So the point is, you won't get married because you're not doing your part. But guess what? Guess what? Once you do your part, you did your share of the game. If you don't get that extra ice cube, that's your best. Right? If for whatever reason, maybe God wants you to pray more, to work on yourself more, or be bad for you, who knows what? I mean, there's some kind of rectification in the soul, whatever it is right now. This is a longer conversation. But to sit there bitter, crying, sad, upset, angry, tension, because you're missing the ice cube, is to not appreciate everything else. Just like your friend's husband. Right? That's how people live, though. Right, the relations with Hashem, they sit there looking at this black dot, and they can't appreciate all of the beauty. They can't appreciate all of the gifts. The Ramban says in the end of Parshas Bo, the Kavan is called Mitzvah Shinamin. Okay, the Kavan of all Mitzvahs is to believe in God. Listen to the Ramban Nachmanides, great leader of 13th century Spanish Jewry. The whole point of Mitzvahs is to believe in God. V'noyei lav shu bareinu. And to know that God created us, The kavanas yitzira. This is the point of Rosh Hashanah. Ain't tam after yitzira rishana. The ain't elyon chafetz p'tachtonim elvadza sheyida ha'adam. The person should know the yoyidei la'alak of shabaro to thank Hashem. The kavanas remes hakol betfilas, and the reason to go to shul and to say blessings and to say prayers. Sheyaliv ne'adam. People should get together. Men are weaker creatures. We're less spiritual, so we need a minion. Right, we're just less spiritual. Men are in any culture, any race, as a whole, as a generality, less spiritual. Doesn't mean every man is less spiritual. There are men who have more of a tendency. Right, they need to get to show to be able to get this feeling of gratefulness, of thankfulness. We all have it intrinsic, right? And that's the point of life, says the Ramban, to see Hashem and say thank you, Hashem. Having the Ramban is called Yetzirah Tachlis and Mitzvahs, the creation in the of mitzvahs and mitzvahs is to be able to connect to the thank Hashem. Of course, mitzvah, the Ramban says in another place, mitzvah is sav-sav, to cling us to God. Right? Sav-sav, we have to cling us to God. V'ni pashu she'en ha-kadosh baruch hu tzarech es ha-hodosh lanu. For God Himself doesn't need our thanks. Ki im tzidkas mati tenlo. If we thank Hashem, what are we giving God? Ach ha-shleimish shalanu. We need to thank God. We need to. I always said children need to stand up for the parents, not for the parents' sake. It doesn't help the parent. The children need to realize who their parents are. They need to stand up for their parents. We need to thank Hashem. And our Aisha Shalanu says, sit there and see God. We have to be able to thank God. Right? The more we have gratitude, the more we have appreciation, the more we see, not only will we see Hashem, the happier and richer our lives will be. A person has to stop and say, I don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. I gave a remarkable piece of advice last week. Which I mentioned, if we would do it, it could change our lives. You just bow for Maidim every day in Shemon Esrei. Stop and think of 3 to 5 things which God did, what people did for you. Chasadim, and say, no, think with God. Right? Bow down, Maidim. Right? Don't really thank God for seeing today. Maybe you thank Him tomorrow when you bow down for Maidim. Right? Hearing. If your husband, parents, friends, job, health. Right? Rabbi! Maidim! Rabbi Levit! No, whoever your rabbi is. Right? Right? Whoever your rabbi is. Now, seriously, you need every small thing for your children, for your friends, for the flowers on there. Right? For whatever it may be, stop and appreciate. The smell of the coffee was the best part of waking up. It's not the best part of waking up, but you have to smell the coffee. Enjoy, appreciate life. Right? See Hashem. Right? Don't go through life mourning, bitter, right? Missing the ice cube and saying, where's my dinner? This is what you gave me? Where's my dinner? God, you give me so much. And even though I'm missing this ice cube, I know that you gave me exactly what I need. I maybe cry, I want it, the ice cube, because I think it's best for me. Maybe it's something it is. But Hashem, I love you. Hashem, you give me so much. Perfect. What a dinner. Right? What an unbelievable roasted potatoes. Right? Again, God's dinner in our life is a lot more complex and a lot better. Right? And even when the missing lesson is not a mistake, it's not an act of malice, it's for our best. One more point, and then we'll adjourn until after Pesach. Kol Tzur Shem Hashem B'Kirbi Moida Ani L'Fanecha. Right, we say this on Shabbos. Kol Zman Shem Hashem, as long as my soul is in. Actually, we don't say this every day. Kol Zman Shem Hashem B'Kirbi Moida Ani L'Fanecha. Hashem Elokai Elokai Say Ribon Kol Hamaisim Adon Kol Hashem. We say in the morning, and as long as my soul is in me, I thank you, Hashem, and the God of my fathers, my God, and the God of my fathers, the master of all deeds, on the Kol Shabbos, called Saknu Bechayim, who rock the Davrachad. Our lives should be as Jews who are growing in service of God. Thank Hashem. Hamila Harishon, the first words that we say in the morning are Moida Ani Lefanecha, Havi Omer Hakaras HaToyva Hoda, Eina Midas Toyvis. Which we said earlier, it's not a good trait. You're not a pious Jew, right? By saying Moida Ani, you're living as a Jewish life. That the main thing of a soul is to be able to thank Hashem. Bashar is a kol ikur chayenu. Our whole life is chayvus kol yitzurim lahaydis lahala shabeach lafael lo raymin lahad levarach ala lekalas. Right, this is all from Nishmas, which we say on Shabbos morning. Right, we, you know, this is a famous story of a Karlin stole a chassid. Anyone been to Karlin Stolen? You know what Karlin Stolen's like? Anyone ever been to there? What? They scream.
Are you talking about a Hasidic group?
Yeah.
Stoliners. Yeah.
You in there?
I've been there for a park.
Bar park, right. So in America, it's a bar park.
And you met the Rebbe, the Stoliner Rebbe.
And from Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a Hoshev Jew.
Got a bracha.
Yeah. So if you ever go to Stolen, and they scream at davening, it's like, the whole place is like, you think like, you know, it's an earthquake. That's how they scream. So the famous story, a Stoliner Chassid came to a different type of shul. And somebody recognized him as a Stoliner Chassid. So listen, over here, you know, we don't scream. No screaming over here. He's going to daven like the rest of us. So he says, okay, I'll do it. So he gets these davening and he says, Baruch Shemar, Hoidu Lashem, Ashrei Yishvei Veisecha, Haluka, right, Az Yashir. All of a sudden he gets to Nishmas. Nishmas! He's just screaming like, you know, real slow. Kol Chai! Right, Lahayda Yisrael, Halal Shalim. So a guy goes up to him afterwards, he says, didn't we tell you that we don't scream here? The chassid says, but this is Nishmas! Nishmas! He's saying, thank you, Hashem! Right? I'm not recommending it, by the way. Please, you know, I don't know, maybe Don Shapiro or someone bumped someone, yeah, I'm sure, like, who is this, you know, coming to scream? My point is, like, it should be that we feel an urge to, Nishmas, thank you, Hashem! And Nishmas isn't davening. Hey, is when you say, I can't even imagine not saying even more thank you. Chodesh Kol Yetzirim, the obligation of all creation is to praise, to thank, to elevate, to, you know, I mean, these words, to bless, to raise, to extol, you know, every other synonym you can think. You God. It's unbelievable, right? We're all obligated to write our own Sefer Tehillim. Right? Our life should be a song. One big song. One big Sefer Tehillim. Thank you, God, for this. 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 Thank you, Hashem, for this. Now, God, life is tough today, but I know you took away this ice cube for me. You know, David, King David had tough days. Right? He cries to God also. When your father-in-law tries to kill you, or your son rebels against you, it's not like not particularly a fun day. Right, but you know what David says? He says, God, you took away some big ice creams today. You know, you may have even taken away my chicken today, but you gave me so much. Thank you. You know, and even when this is going wrong, right, what does David say when he's running away from Avshalom? He sang a song, right? So his people say, you're singing a song? He found the positive in that, right? I mean, he saw the rest of the situation constantly. It doesn't mean there's not difficult days. Real life, olam hazeh, this world, we'll miss big pieces of chicken sometimes, and there'll be real difficulties, really tough days. But Hashem still wants us to sing Him a song. Right? We still have to have gratitude. Right? We still have to have appreciation for all of the greatnesses and the kindnesses in it. And we can even say, God, it was a tough day, or this is really, really hard. Right? This is not easy, but I love you. I appreciate it. If this is best for me, please give me this as well, because I think I need this. But it's coming with appreciation of Hashem. This was about tefillah, we say it over and over in prayers. And again, our goal with this is to write our own tefillah, to say our own tefillah. That halal praises hodah. And halal praise of God comes from the upper soul, from the highest level of a soul. Re'ei na ezo hasaga atzuma. Haitzel lechazal. Right, look how Chazal are sages, the Anshei Kesed Gedola, when they wrote Tefillah, they came from the highest places. And again, going back to Nishmas, Ilufinu Malas Shirakam. If our mouths were filled with song as big as the 70% of this world that sees, Ulshonenu Rina, and all of our tongues were songs like all of the ways. We can see as much as the sun and the moon. And our our wingspan was unbelievable. Raglenu kaz kailas, and we're doing this. This would all be in praise of God. What do we say in Nishmas? Anachnu maspikim lahoyislach. We can't even begin to thank God. Right? We can't even begin to express, if we really think about right now as we're talking, how many billions of chemical reactions are happening in each of our bodies. How much billions of permutations had to be, by the way, for all of you ladies to be sitting here, for me to be in San Jose, to be here, you know, or for, you know, for us to be here right now. I mean, like, we could be anywhere, right? How many billions of divine providence had to have come through our lives at some level? God, I mean, this is like, Oyem and Oyra. How many millions and billions of things had to happen, right, for the smallest things in life? We can't even begin to appreciate it. You said, God, you put it in our soul. They will thank you, Hashem. Right? And that's actually what we say in the bracha of Halo. And also, it's our call that we say, God, I can't even begin to thank you. Right? Hashem, I cannot begin to thank you. Says Rav Volbo, this is our service in life. The goal of our goal, our Torah, our mitzvahs, our appreciation should lead us to the feeling that, God, I can't even begin to thank you. And that's how a Jew lives happily in this world. It's not just a trick. It's a reality. If we really stop and wake up and appreciate it, it's like we can't even imagine how happy we can be. We see a wall of white. Yeah, the black spots or black spot is there. But there's so much white. There's so much fantastic. There's so much I can just begin to cry, Hashem, thank you, Hashem. We don't mourn if we're living like that. We live. We thrive. We say, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom. V'dar lanu b'azel eschazik ha'midah b'kolas ha'shakas tov. Ha'kolas ha'toyiv. It needs to be worked on. We have to stop and say thank you. Right? Thank you to the human beings who better our lives. Thank you to the human beings who do us the small favors and the big favors. And if we do that enough, right, we can stop and we bow down in front of God and say, Maidim, say, God, how much more can I thank you? And we can list the things that will allow us to live better lives, happier lives, rich lives, deeper lives. It will be the fuel which will energize our prayer and our service of Hashem. It will allow and enable us to have real Purims and real Pesachs, right? And if we have that appreciation, that's what children get. If you want to affect people around you, you want to be an in-person of who influences people for the better, if you're enthusiastic, if you're appreciation, if you have gratitude, right? You're not only better your own life, you better everyone around you. Okay? Thank you for coming.